This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Before we start, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, in alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون إخواني أخواتي dear brothers and sisters tonight we'll be talking about a very sad event that took place in our history in the history of this Muslim Ummah which is the death of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I'll try to take you back some time before his death, alayhi salatu wasalam, to his farewell Hajj, Hajjat al-Wada'. So he performed Hajjat al-Wada' in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, in the 10th year of the Hijrah, his Hijrah, alayhi salatu wasalam. On the day of Arafah, when he was on the Mount of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him the famous ayah which is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, today I have perfected for you your religion and I have completed my favors upon you and I have chosen for you Islam as your religion. It was a hint, it was an indication that his death is approaching, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed the deen for this ummah. This is on the day of Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. After that, we get the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is Eid al-Adha. And then during the days of At-Tashriq, 11th and 12th and 13th, we don't know which day exactly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him Surah Al-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Where there comes the victory of Allah and the opening is the conquest of Mecca. And you see people coming into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in crowds. Then glorify the praises of your Lord. Glorify the praises of your Lord and ask for His forgiveness. He is the most forgiving. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received this surah, he realized immediately that his time to leave the world has come. It was an announcement of his approaching death. And this is the tafsir of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas was a very young man. But he used to know the tafsir of the Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua to him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him with the fiqh of al-kitab. يقول ابن عباس رضي الله عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم hugged me one time and said اللهم علمه الكتاب اللهم علمه الكتاب. Oh Allah, teach him the knowledge of the book, the Quran. On a different occasion he said اللهم فقهه في الدين وعلمه التأويل. Oh Allah, bless him with the understanding of the deen. And the fiqh is not the formal fiqh that we know. The fiqh is the best and the good understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hikmah, the wisdom. وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّأْوِيلِ. Ta'wil here means interpretation of the Qur'an, tafsir. And he was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of our messenger. And he was one of the greater, one of the great mufassirin, Quran commentators in our ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away in the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, in the 11th year of the Hijrah. And this is kind of an ijma', there is a kind of an ijma', consensus about this date, that he passed away in the month of Rabi' al-Awwal. So he came back after he finished his Hajj. He went back to Al-Madinah and he started preparing the army of Usama ibn Zayd. He wanted to send this army to the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula to face the Romans. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got sick and the army did not leave until Abu Bakr became the Khalifa radiallahu anhu. So in the early days of Safar, now we have Dhul Hijjah, he went back to Al-Madinah, he spent the whole month of Muharram, he was fine during the month of Muharram. And then during the month of Safar, in the early days, he went to visit Uhud. And he prayed for the shuhada of Uhud. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. And they said, the ulama, it was like he was trying to say goodbye to those who are dead and those who are alive, saying goodbye to everyone. So in the early days of Safar, he said, went to Uhud. When he came back to Al-Madina, he ascended his minbar and he made a speech, alayhi salatu wassalam. He said, Inni faratukum, wa inni shaheedun alaykum, wa inni wallahi la anzuru ila hawdi al-an. وإني أعطيت خزائن مفاتيح خزائن الأرض ثم قال والله إني لا أخاف أن تشركوا بعدي ولكن أخاف عليكم أن تنافسوا فيها. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said, ascended his minbar and he made a speech and he said, I am to precede you and I have been made as a witness upon you. And by Allah, I can see my hawd, my basin right now. The hawd that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He will give it to him on the Day of Judgment. And the source of this hawd, as some ulama said, it is the kawthar, the same kawthar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given or has promised His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kawthar is a river in Jannah, but the hawd will be in the land of al-mahshar. The gathering, the big gathering on the Day of Judgment. So, and he said, I have been given the keys of the treasures of this earth. And then I said, Wallahi, by Allah, I do not fear that you become, that you turn polytheist, mushrikun after me. He knew that the Sahaba had strong iman and they had learned their religion and they have strong faith. So he was not worried that they will become mushrikeen, they will turn back and they will become mushrikeen. But he said, Inni akhafu alaykum an tanafasu fiha. I do fear that you will compete with each other in collecting worldly riches and material possessions. After this speech, after a while, a few days, one night he went to visit al-Baqi', the cemetery of al-Baqi' in Medina. It was a night time. And then he made dua to the inhabitants of this grave, this cemetery. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. And then he said, وَإِنَّا بِكُمْ لَلَاحِقُونَ. And we are also coming to you. And then at the end of the month, at the end of the month of Safar, the ulama, they said it was Monday, the 29th of Safar. He participated in a janazah in the cemetery of Al-Baqi'. And then when he was coming back, he felt a severe headache and he got some fever. So he went back to Aisha radiallahu anha, and Aisha told us about the story. She said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back from a janazah from Al-Baqi' and he found me. Aisha had a headache too. So she was saying, wa ra'sah, oh my head. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, bal ana ya wa ra'sahu ya Aisha. Rather, I would say, oh my head, oh Aisha. Then he said to Aisha, he was joking with Aisha, ma dharraki law mitti qabli, faghassaltuki wa kaffantuki wa sallaytu alayki wa dafantuki. فعائشة رضي الله عنها تقول فكأني بك والله لو فعلت ذلك لرجعت إلى بيتي وعرست ببعض نسائك فتبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قالت ثم بدأ بالوجع الذي مات فيه. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, what will happen if you die before me? He was talking to عائشة رضي الله عنها. I will give you ghusl and place you in a kafan and offer my janazah prayer upon you, and then take you to the cemetery for burial. She said, I feel that if you do that, you'll come back to my house, and you'll have a happy time with one of your wives. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. But she said, at that time, it was the outset of his disease, the outset of his, you know, suffering, the illness, in which he, or during which he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, he led the Muslims for 11 days. He led them in the prayer for 11 days between Safar 29 till 9th or 10th of Rabi' al-Awwal. Wallahu ta'ala alam. The ulama, they said he led them in the prayer for 11 days. During those days, during that period, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave very important speeches. And Muslims have to pay attention to these speeches, especially when it comes to his relationship with Abu Bakr and the position of Abu Bakr in this ummah, radiyallahu anhu. And the position of Aisha, the status of Aisha, his wife, in this ummah. Because if Muslims understood this hadith and these speeches, there will be no division in this ummah. But the problem is lack of knowledge, or al-ahwa, desires, following desires. So we need tonight, inshallah, to focus on those statements, especially the ones that are connected to or related to his relationship with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. So in one of his speeches, he said, "Inna abdan," talking about himself, but the Sahaba did not at that time realize that he was talking about himself. "Inna abdan khayyarahu Allah bayna an yu'tiyahu min zahrati ad-dunya ma sha' wa bayna ma 'indahu fakhtara ma 'indahu." So he said, "Verily Allah has given a choice or the opportunity to a servant of his to choose between whatever he desires of the bounties of Allah in this dunya, and between what he has kept for him in al-akhirah. And this servant has opted for the latter." No one understood that he meant himself except Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu cried at that moment, and he said, "May our parents be ransomed for your sake, O Messenger of Allah." And the Sahaba were amazed. He's talking about a servant of Allah, and Abu Bakr is crying and saying, "Oh, may our parents be ransomed for your sake, O Messenger of Allah." ثم بعد ذلك, during the same speech, he made a great statement about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And this statement is an indication. It's a clear indication for those who have pure faith, or they want to understand. They want al-haq. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to be the Khalifa after he passes away. So he said, "Inna amanna an-nasi alayya fi suhbatihi wa malihi Abu Bakr. Walau kuntu muttakhidan khalilan ghayra rabbi, lattakhadhtu Aba Bakr khalila, walakinnaha ukhuwatu al-Islam wa mawaddatuhu. Wa la yabqayanna babun fil masjid illa sudd illa babu Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu." So he said about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, he said, I am most obliged to Abu Bakr for the favor of his companionship and his property. They were friends for more than 50 years. For more than 50 years, ya ikhwan, and he's his father-in-law. got married with Aisha, his daughter. So he said, I am most obliged to Abu Bakr for the favor of his companionship, for his suhbah, and his property, his mal, because he supported the Messenger of Allah with his wealth. When they were making hijrah from Makkah to Medina, when he came to the Medina, he's the one who bought the land of the masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi, that all Muslims, millions of Muslims are going there to pray, to offer their prayer when they go for Hajj and Umrah. Millions of Muslims are praying in this masjid. Abu Bakr paid for the land of this masjid from his money. And he supported the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with everything he had. One time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba to donate for the sake of Allah. And Abu Bakr brought everything he had in his house. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqulu lahu ma tarakta li ahlika ya Abu Bakr. He said, taraktu lahum Allah wa rasulah. After he brought his donation to the masjid to give it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what did you left for your family, to your family, O Abu Bakr? He said, I left for them Allah and His Messenger, which means nothing. No material possession, he left nothing in his house. He brought everything he owned and he gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of Allah. Now, let's continue with this statement. Because this statement, we need to understand it and we need to teach it to our kids. Because now our kids are exposed to many things on the internet. They are listening to lectures on YouTube and they might be confused about the status of this great Sahaba. So he said after that, he said, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا غَيْرَ رَبِّي لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. He said, if I had to take someone as a khalil, khalil means the closest friend, other than Allah, someone other than Allah, I would have taken Abu Bakr as a khalil of mine. This is a clear indication that the closest friend to Rasulullah ﷺ was Abu Bakr. And the only reason he did not take him as a khalil is because he is the khalil of Allah. He wanted this relationship to be dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam was the khalil of Ar-Rahman too. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to get this virtue, this, you know, this special relationship between him and Allah. Then he said, وَلَكِنْ أُخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمُوَدَّتُهُ. What is between him and Abu Bakr? The brotherhood of Islam and love and affection for the sake of Allah. أُخُوَّةُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمُوَدَّتُهُ. And then he said, you know this masjid, it has many doors, maybe 5 doors or 6. The masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ had many doors. People who lived beside the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ, some of them had gates from their houses to the masjid. So what did he say at the end of this statement? He said, no gate shall be kept open. He meant the gates of the masjid. No gate shall be kept open except the gate of Abu Bakr. Except the gate of Abu Bakr. And this is a clear indication that Rasulullah ﷺ used to believe that Abu Bakr deserved to be the Khalifa after he passes away. And it is a manifest indication of his status, his honor, his nobility, and his strong relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 9 days before he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is most likely in Rabi' al-Awwal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him an ayah. Many ulama believe it is the last ayah that was revealed to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. This ayah is in Surah al-Baqarah, ayah 281. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And fear the day when you will return to Allah. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ. Then every soul will be compensated for what it had earned. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And then they will not be treated unjustly. No one will be treated unjustly on the Day of Judgment. And this ayah is between the ayat of riba, the ayat of dealing with interest in the Quran from 2 to 75, and the ayah of a deen, which is dealing with loans, which is the biggest ayah or the longest ayah in the Quran, 282. So the ayah is in between those ayat of riba and the ayah of al-dayn, business transactions. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يَظْلَمُونَ. Other scholars, they have other opinions. They said there are some other ayat that were revealed after this ayah. Allahu alam. But the ulama, they said this ayah was mentioned 9 days before he passed away. And many of them believe that it was the last ayah that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the last week of his life, alayhi salatu wa salam, his pain grew very severe. And then he started asking his wife, look at this indication here. Where shall I stay tomorrow? Where shall I stay tomorrow? He kept on asking and insisting. So they understood what he wanted. He had a desire. He had a wish. And they wanted to grant him this wish. So they wanted to allow him to choose the house in which he will spend the last days of his life. So they said, you have the permission to choose. Because he every night, you know, it was Rasulullah SAW used to treat his wives with justice and fairness. So every night he would spend it in the house of, in one of his wives. But when he was sick in the last week of his life, he kept on asking this question, where shall I stay tomorrow? So they understood what he meant. They allowed him to go. And he moved to the house, the room of Aisha, As-Siddiqa bint As-Siddiq radiallahu anha. And he moved to her house, dragging his feet, and his head was bended, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was leaning on two people, Al-Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu from one side, and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu from the other side. He moved to the house of his most beloved wife. She was the most dearest wife to his woman, to his heart, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it is, you know, the fact that he has chosen to spend his last week in her house is a great testimony for her nobility and her position in this deen, in this ummah. People now, the sick people, deviated people are saying, yani, things about Aisha radiallahu anha, you cannot repeat them in front of other people. You cannot just think about them. It's hard to think about them. Even when you think about them, you get depressed. You know? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has asserted the nobility of this woman. Because he has chosen to spend the last moment of his life in her house. And we will know about other things when we talk about the days of this week. 5 days before his death, alayhi salatu wasalam, his temperature rose high. And it was a sign of the severity of his illness, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he fainted and suffered from pain. And he said, 5 days before he passed away, pour out 7 water skin containers from various water wells. So they had to bring water from various wells and they pour them on him. So they did what he asked for. And he felt well enough to go to the masjid. He wanted to go to the masjid and talk to people, meet with people and talk to them. And he was able to go into the masjid 5 days before he passed away. So he sat on his minbar, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he gave another speech. In this speech, he cursed those who have taken the graves of their prophets and messengers as places of worship. He cursed them. قال لعن الله اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. He has cursed those who have taken the graves of their prophets and messengers as places of worship. And this is not, you know, in the West, some people, they said they believe that Muhammad SAW was a fabricator. And he's the one who founded this religion. He wrote the book. It was all a fabrication. This is not the profile, ya ikhwan, of a fabricator. Is this the profile of a fabricator? If he was a fabricator, if he wanted fame, if he wanted fame and honor and dignity in this dunya, he would allow them to take his grave as a place of, as a festival, as a place of worship. He would like it if people would worship his grave. But he said, he made this clear statement, لا تتخذوا قبري وثنا يعبد. لا تتخذوا قبري وثنا يعبد. Do not take my grave as a worshipped idol. This is one of his wasaya. This is his wasiya to his ummah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said, after that, in the same speech, من كنت قد جلدت له ظهرا فهذا ظهري فليستقد منه ومن كنت شتمت له عرضا فهذا عرضي فليستقد منه. So he said, if I have lashed the back of anyone, then I am offering my back for him to avenge himself on me. If I have insulted anyone, I'm offering my earth. If I have insulted the honor of anyone, then I am offering my honor to him to avenge himself. This is not, ya ikhwan, the profile of a fabricator. He's inviting people to avenge themselves. If he had committed a mistake with them, if he had wronged someone, he's asking them to take, could come at this in the last moment of his life to take revenge. So he descended from his minbar, alayhi salatu wassalam, prayed salat al-dhuhr, and then returned to the minbar again after salat al-dhuhr, and he admonished the ummah, and he said, he commanded them to be kind to the ansar, radiyallahu anhum, the helpers, those people who supported him in the city of Medina. And he said, appreciate their favors and overlook their mistakes. 4 days before his death, alayhi salatu wassalam, it was Thursday, he invited the Sahaba to come. Some of the Sahaba, among them was Abu Bakr, Umar ibn Khattab. I'm not sure if Abu Bakr was there, but Umar ibn Khattab was there. He invited a group of Sahaba. He said, come here, I will ask you to write something that you will not fall into error after I pass away. So he wanted them to write on his behalf a wasiyah for the ummah, so they won't have disagreement after he passes away, alayhi salatu wasalam. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is suffering from acute pain, and we have the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it should be enough for this ummah. Some other sahaba said, no, insisted, no, he should write for us something. And then they started debating, because he was suffering and it was, his pain was severe. So Umar, he thought, we'll just add to his burden. We have the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have the guidance of the Quran, and it should be enough for this ummah. Of course, with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw them debating with each other, he asked them to go and leave him alone. And nothing was written. On the same day, Thursday, in the evening, he led the Muslims in Maghrib prayer. And he recited Surah Al-Mursalat, alayhi salatu wasalam. During the Isha, when times came for Salat Al-Isha, he wanted to go out to lead the Muslims during Salat Al-Isha. But he could not do it. His pain was severe. He asked them to pour some water on him or to give him some water. He washed his face. He wanted to stand up and he fainted again. He fainted. So he asked them, have people prayed? Have people performed the Salat? They said, no, they haven't. They are waiting for you. So they asked them to give him some water. He took some water and he washed his face. He wanted to stand up, alayhi salatu wasalam. He fainted again. And then when he recovered, he said, the first question he asked, have the people performed their salat? They said, no, they are still waiting. They haven't. They are still waiting for you. This happened for 3 times. Then when he felt that he's not able to leave his house and go to the masjid, he asked for Abu Bakr. He sent a message again talking about Abu Bakr. Pay attention to this, ya ikhwan. He sent a message to Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. And Aisha radiallahu anha asked him to excuse Abu Bakr for three times or four times. And Hafsa, his wife, the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab, was present. And she asked him also to excuse Abu Bakr because of his gentleness. Abu Bakr is very soft. He's a soft person. And they knew that if he will start praying and Rasulullah is not there, he might start crying, radiallahu anhum. And people will not hear his voice. So they said, ask Umar ibn al-Khattab to lead the prayer. So Rasulullah kept on saying, Muru Aba Bakr falyusalli bin nas. Send my message to Abu Bakr. He should lead the prayer. Tell him to lead the prayer. He insisted on that. And then when they insisted on asking on him to excuse Abu Bakr, he made a statement that shows that he was angry. He said, Inna kunna sawahibu Yusuf. Muru Aba Bakr falyusalli bin nas. Verily, you women are the friends or the companions of Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam. You know the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Muru Aba Bakr falyusalli bin nas. Ask Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. He insisted that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu should lead the prayer in his absence, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Abu Bakr led the Muslims for 17 prayers, as the ulama said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was still alive. In the last 2 days in his life, it was Saturday or Sunday, Rasulullah sallallahu, so he died, he passed away on Monday. Now we are on Saturday, on Sunday. The ulama are not sure about this event. So they said he felt well enough to perform salat. So he wanted to go. He asked them to help him, take him to the masjid, to pray with the Muslims. It was dhuhr prayer, and Abu Bakr was about to lead the prayer, radiallahu anhu. When he saw him, he wanted to retreat, to go back to the line and allow him to give him room to lead the prayer. But he motioned to Abu Bakr to stay, and he was leaning on two people, so he told them to seat him beside, on the left side of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was on his right side. Rasulullah s.a.w. led the prayer, and Abu Bakr was standing up. Rasulullah s.a.w. was sitting. Abu Bakr was beside him standing up, and he was raising his voice with a takbir. It was a silent prayer, dhuhr prayer. Whenever Rasulullah ﷺ would do takbirat al-intiqal, or takbirat al-ihram, or takbirat al-intiqal, takbirat al-salat, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq would follow him, and he would raise his voice with a takbir. One day before he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, it was Sunday. A day before he died, he set all his slaves free. I don't know how many slaves he had, but he all granted them their freedom. One of them is Shakran, who gave him ghusl, who participated in the ghusl process. And he paid as a charity the 7 dinars that he had in his house that he owned at that time. He had 7 dinars in his house. He paid them as a charity. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, this is not the profile of a fabricator. This is not the profile of someone who wanted this dunya. He had only 7 dinars. And he gave all his weapons as a present to the Muslims. And Aisha radiallahu anha, when the night fell, she had to borrow oil from her neighbors to light the oil lamp in his house. She had to borrow oil, radiallahu anha, from their neighbors. His coat of armor, dir'uhu, كانت مرهونة عند يهودي في 30 صاعا من شعير. His coat of armor, صلى الله عليه وسلم, was deposited as a security with a Jew merchant, for 30 صاع of barley. He took 30 صاع of barley as a loan on a deferred basis payment. And then he left with him his dir', his coat of armor, as a security. In the last day, which was Monday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, during Fajr prayer, Anas ibn Malik narrated what happened during Fajr prayer. They said Muslims were praying, behind Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and they were surprised by looking at Rasulullah sallallahu raising the curtain from his house, the house of Aisha, and looking at them. He looked at them aligned in the prayer. They were praying and he smiled cheerfully alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Bakr felt that Rasulullah sallallahu is looking at them, wanted to withdraw and join the lines, because he thought that Rasulullah sallallahu could be coming to the masjid to lead the prayer. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gestured or motioned to him to stay in his place. And then Anas radiallahu anhu said, the Muslims who were praying were so delighted, so happy by looking at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they were almost taken away from their prayers. كَادُوا يُفْتَنُونَ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. They were looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, looking at them, and he was smiling, and they were so happy by looking at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he motioned to them to continue their prayer, and then he drew down the curtain. And for many of them, that was the last time when they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was not alive for the next prayer. He died before Salat al-Dhuhr on that day. During daytime, in the morning of that day, he called for Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. So he told her something with a secret voice, privately, and she cried radiallahu anha. And then he told her something else, and she started laughing radiallahu anha. So in the first time, he disclosed to her that he will not recover from this illness, that he will meet his Lord. In the second time, he told her that you would be the first member of my family to join me. And she laughed. And as a matter of fact, she passed away 6 months after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam died. And he told her that you would be the master of all women, Nisa al-Alameen, all women in Jannah. Then when she noticed that his pain is becoming severe, she said, wa karba abatah. She said, what great pain my father is in. So he said, la karba ala abiki ba'da al-yawm ya Fatima. He said, your father will not suffer any pain after this day, O Fatima, when the day is over. So he knew, alayhi salatu wasalam, that this is his last day. After that, he asked for al-Hasan والحسين رضي الله عنهما to be brought to him, and he kissed them. He kissed الحسن والحسين, and he asked the Sahaba or the people who were around him to take care of them. He asked to see his wives, and all of them came to the house of Aisha. He sat beside him. He admonished them, gave them a maw'idha, and told them to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When his brain pain grew so severe, he felt the effect of the poison that he has tasted in Khaybar. You know, after the Ghazwa of Khaybar, there was a Jewish lady who gave him a gift, a hadiyah, as a barbecued, you know, lamb, and she put some poison in it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, took something. He tasted some of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him about the poison, so he rejected it, threw it out. But he got some poison in his body, and it started working at this time. So he told Aisha radiallahu anha that I still feel the painful effect of that food I tasted at Khaybar, and I feel as if death is approaching. And he kept on saying that morning, As-salat, as-salat, wa ma malakat aymanukum. Take care of your salat, take care of your salat, and be attentive to slaves. Nowadays, we don't have slaves to be attentive to them. But how about the first part of this wasiyah, of this nasiha, as-salat, as-salat? This is the last wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to this ummah. Take care of your salat, which means do it the way Rasulullah ﷺ used to do it. Do it in the masajid. It was part of his daily life to perform his salat in the masajid. Muslims now have abandoned this sunnah. Many ulama, actually, when we call it sunnah, we might give the wrong information. Many ulama, they said it is wajib for male members of this community to offer their salat in the masajid whenever it's possible for them. Whenever it's easy for them, if they are not far away from the masjid, or they are not eating, or they are not sick, they should come to the masajid and perform the salat in the masajid the way Rasulullah ﷺ used to do it. So these were his last nasa'ih, or words to the ummah, as-salat, as-salat, wa ma malakat aymanukum, and he kept on repeating these statement in that morning. The last moment of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, the ulama, they said when the pangs of death started, Aisha radiallahu anha leant him against her chest radiallahu anha. And she used to say that one of Allah's favors, look at this statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, on me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah's messenger, died in my house. This is the first favor. And he died while leaning his head between my neck and my chest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mixed his saliva with my saliva in his last moment. Because Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr, her brother, the brother of Aisha, Aisha's brother, came to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during those moments. And he had a siwak. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept looking at Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. So Aisha, she understood that he wanted the siwak. So she said, would you like me to take it for you? He nodded in agreement. He couldn't talk, but he nodded with his head, alayhi salatu wasalam. So she took the siwak from Abd al-Rahman and she gave it to him. But she said it was hard on his teeth. It was hard for him. So she said, would you like me to soften it to you? And he nodded with his head in agreement. So she took it and she softened it with her saliva, radiallahu anha. And then she gave it to him. And she said he brushed his teeth as well as he could. This is the last thing he did in this dunya. He brushed his teeth, alayhi salatu wasalam, as well or as much as he could. And that's why she said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mixed his saliva with my saliva. These are the last moments of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she said there was a water pot beside him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He used to put his hand in this water pot and then he used to wipe his face, alayhi salatu wa sallam, while saying, La ilaha illallah, إِنَّ لِلْمَوْتِ سَكَرَاتِ. There is none worthy of worship except Allah. Death is full of agonies. These are his statements when he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, washing his face and feeling the pangs of the agonies of death. As soon as he has finished brushing his teeth, this is what Aisha said, radiallahu anha, he raised his finger up and he looked upwards at the ceiling of the house. And he moved his lips. And Aisha radiallahu anha heard him say, مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني وألحقني بالرفيق الأعلى. So she said, she heard him saying, عليه الصلاة والسلام, while raising his hand or his finger up, with those on whom you have bestowed your grace, مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, with the prophets and as-siddiqeen, the truthful ones, and as-shuhada, the martyrs, and the pious people. O Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى, and join me to the most exalted companionship on high. And she said that he repeated the last statement or verse, the last phrase, three times. مَعَ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى, مَعَ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى, مَعَ الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. To the most exalted companionship on high, to the most exalted companionship on high, to the most exalted companionship on high, she said, when his hand came down, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that was his last moment in this dunya. What was the reaction of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? The Anas ibn Malik described what happened. He said, dark grief spread on all horizons of the city of Al-Madinah. He said, I've never witnessed a day better or brighter than that day on which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the city of Al-Madinah. And I have never witnessed a more awful or darker day than that one on which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam died. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he heard about the news, he stood up. Some ulama, they said, he took his sword and he was very angry. And he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not die. He went to his Lord, to meet his Lord the same way. In the same way, Musa ibn Imran alayhi salam went to meet his Lord, and he will come back. And he will cut the necks and the legs of those who are saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has died. And he was screaming in the masjid, he was about to lose his consciousness, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, wa ma adraka ma Umar. Umar, the most powerful man in the Sahaba, who was feared in the city of Medina. He couldn't control his emotions, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr went outside the city of Medina in an area called the Sunh. He came back and he went to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did not want to talk to anyone, dismounted his horse or his camel, and he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he found him covered with a Yemeni mantle. He was covered with a Yemeni mantle, so he uncovered him and he kissed him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He leaned over and he kissed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he said, ma atyabaka ya Rasulullah, ma atyabaka ya Rasulullah hayyan wa mayyitan, which means, how sweet you are, O Messenger of Allah, whether you are alive or dead. And then he went out and he found Umar talking and screaming. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is showing a great deal of leadership here. So he said, Umar, sit down. He said, be seated. So Umar refused to do so. He didn't want to sit down. So people left Umar and he came back. He came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, who used to cry, he's that soft person. It is time to show leadership and it is time to stand up for the ummah. So he said, amma ba'd, he gave a speech. Man kana minkum ya'budu Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wasallam, fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Wa kana minkum ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut. He who used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he should know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam died. And he who worships Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever living and he does not die. And then he recited the ayah. All the Sahaba knew about this ayah, but they couldn't think about it at that moment. During those emotional moments, they forgot about this ayah, which is in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 144. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. So he recited this ayah, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ, and Muhammad is no more than a messenger. And indeed, many messengers have passed away before him. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ, if he dies or he's killed, will you then turn back? as disbelievers. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ Turn back on your heels. This is what it means, that you change your religion. Turn back on your heels. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا And whoever turns away or changes his religion, turns back on his heels, then he will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate, will reward the grateful ones. Those who keep following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maintain the aqidah of tawheed. This is the heritage that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for this ummah. The Quran, his sunnah, the aqidah of tawheed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not with us nowadays, but we still have his sunnah. It is alive with us. And we have no excuse not to follow his sunnah. We have no excuse if we abandon his lifestyle. We have no excuse if we abandon his methodology. One time, Ya Ikhwan, I was driving a car and there was a young child with me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with a statement. We went to buy some food, to a restaurant to buy some food. And he asked me if we can stay there and eat. And the owner of that place had shisha, and he had big TVs and music. A Muslim place, halal place. But he had all these things. So I explained to this child that we cannot stay here. We will take our food and leave, because we cannot stay here because this guy is having shisha. People will be smoking here and music, playing music. You know what this child said? He's only 11 years old. He said, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back, many people will be ashamed of what they are doing. Many Muslims will be ashamed of what they do. He's a child, 11 years old. So, Ya Ikhwan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have no doubt that every Muslim has some love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are all connected to the Messenger of Allah when it comes to our emotions. And we love to talk about his seerah, talk about his life, talk about his ghazawat, and read his sunnah. But what we are lacking nowadays is to put this knowledge into action. This is our biggest problem nowadays as an ummah. We need to stand up as a Muslim ummah, forget about our divisions and methodologies and ethnic backgrounds, as one ummah, and do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Help our community, help our youth. Explain to them who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people are attacking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is not difficult to explain to people, teach them, promote the Messenger of Allah in this society, in this community, within the Muslim Ummah and to the outside community. We need to use many of our youth who have skills nowadays. They are going to university, they are earning some knowledge, but many of them are confused because they are exposed to many things, many ideologies, and many philosophies in their school. They come to the masajid, they pray with us, but we don't know what's going on in their minds and hearts. This is something that we have to pay attention to. They live in a time different than our time. They are the generation of internet and technology and high-speed internet. They have a different life, and we need to pay attention to that. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يكتب لنا الأجر والثواب. ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفعنا بما نقول ونسمع. السلام. Standing up beside on the right side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was repeating the takbir, raising his voice with takbir, because Rasulullah ﷺ was very sick and he was very weak, so his voice was very low. So Abu Bakr had to make tabligh. He had to tell, yani, raise his voice with takbir. Tafadhal.
Do we know what happened on the Jum'ah, the last Jum'ah of his life? Did he leave the prayer? Did he give?
No. In the books of Sira, they said the last prayer he led, it was Maghrib prayer on Thursday. So he didn't pray Jum'ah. He didn't pray the Friday. And he came back to the masjid, you know, this incident the brother was talking about, either on Saturday or Sunday. It was Dhuhr prayer. And that's it. And he did not come back to the masjid after that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Raise your hand. Okay. Tafadhal. There is a report. The report is not very strong, but some ulama, they said it is sahih. يعني, it's not in Bukhari and Muslim, that Umar ibn Khattab led the prayer. Led the prayer because Abu Bakr was not there. He was absent. So they asked Umar, and many ulama, they said this hadith is sahih. So they asked Umar to lead the prayer. And Umar radiallahu anhu had a loud voice. So Rasulullah ﷺ heard him reciting in the salah. So Rasulullah ﷺ made a very strong statement, another strong statement, another indication that Rasulullah ﷺ wanted Abu Bakr to be the leader, to be the Khalifa, and to lead people in prayer. قال يأبى الله ذلك والمسلمون يأبى الله ذلك والمسلمون يأبى الله ذلك والمسلمون مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. So when he heard Umar reciting in the salah, he said, Allah does not like it. And Muslims do not like it. Ask Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. He thought that they asked Umar while Abu Bakr is present, is in the masjid. He didn't know that Abu Bakr was not in the masjid. So he said, يَأْبَى اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ يعني هذه, these are clear, as I said, proofs. For the ones who want the haq, who want the truth.
So, regarding the hadith where he said that before the Prophet ﷺ, that Jibril alayhi salam came and he said, "Wa Rasulullah, Malik al-Mawt is waiting,
asking for permission,
asking for permission to come."
Yeah.
And then he said, he asked, give him the permission.
That's right, yeah.
And then Malik al-Mawt came and then
that's right.
Said, Allah Ta'ala give you a choice to give more or to...
That's right. But al-Rafiq al-A'la.
How about this hadith? I don't know how...
You know, the ulama, they said, they mentioned this hadith in Sira. They said that Jibreel came before in the last day with Malik al-Mawt, the angel of death. And the angel of death did not come into his house. He stayed outside. And Jibreel came in. And he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, this is the angel of death outside, asking for permission. And he told him that he never asked for permission from anyone else beside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Khuyr again, he was given the opportunity again, you know, the what he mentioned before on the minbar, that a servant of Allah has been given the opportunity to choose between whatever he desires of the bounties of this dunya and between what Allah has kept for him on the Day of Judgment. And he has opted or has chosen the latter, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for him on the Day of Judgment. So he, when Jibreel went in, he repeated the same offer. He was given the choice to choose between staying in this dunya. Of course, if he stayed in this dunya, he will not stay forever. Rasulullah ﷺ knew that if he stayed for this dunya for, you know, for centuries, a day will come, one day will come when he passes away. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained death on everyone. Everyone has to pass away, everyone has to die. So, and in that moment, قال بل الرفيق الأعلى بل الرفيق الأعلى بل الرفيق الأعلى, to the most exalted companionship on high. So, yeah, this is something that is mentioned in the book of Sirah. There are other details, yani, but this is basically the conclusion or summary of what happened during those days. Now, تفضل أخي. تفضل. Go ahead.
For those who continue to abuse even today, Abu Bakr and Aisha, whether that be individual Muslims or state Muslims, or continue to have relationships with those, what are their situation and status?
Their status in Islam, yani?
Yes.
Well, this is there is a famous decree made by many scholars, many ulama, that they said, in general, the regular people who are not scholars are not kuffar. But this is a famous fatwa. But they said their ulama, they could be kuffar because they know the truth and they are lying to people. One time I met someone who is highly educated. He finished his university education and he's professional. And he came to my office for advice. And I found out that he belonged to this group of people. And then we had a discussion. And then he started talking to me about Umar radiallahu anhu. And he said that this is how we were taught. He's well educated, but he didn't use his intellect to go and search for the truth. See, he said, this is how we were taught. Actually, great scholars in our group told us that Umar had closed the door in the face of Fatima, and he broke her al-adlu' ribs. He broke her ribs. And he insulted the family of the Prophet. He abused them. He oppressed them. And he said, Subhanallah, these are all lies. This is falsehood. This is pure falsehood against Umar, the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, I am shocked you are telling me that this is not true. Here in Canada. He said, I am shocked. This is how they taught us. They told us from young age, they said, from young age they used to tell us and read these stories to us. So the problem is, sometimes you blame these people, like this guy, you blame him because he is an educated person. Now it's everyone knows that we have two groups in this ummah. We are not ta'ifiyin, alhamdulillah, we are not sectarians. We don't support, uphold sectarianism. We are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they are the ones who pulled out from this ummah. Because at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we didn't have sunnah or shia. Right? We didn't have these divisions, right? We didn't have them. So we are following the way of life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they are the ones who have chosen another path. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam قال وَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And whoever turns away from my sunnah, he does not belong to me. And what did he mean here by this statement exactly? The one who chooses another path, another methodology, another way of life, then he doesn't belong to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the one who wrote an explanation, famous explanation about Sahih al-Bukhari, in Fath al-Bari, he said, the one who says that I have brought a better guidance than the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, better lifestyle, better ideology, he becomes a kafir based on this hadith. مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So and of course, yani, insulting Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen, it's like you are insulting the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this, she is the ird of Rasulullah, she is his wife. And she is the most beloved of his wife, right? Of his wives. And he has chosen to spend the last week of his life in her house. And he passed away while leaning on her chest, radiallahu anha. So if she was, I listened to their explanations, weird explanations. One of them was saying, because Nuh alayhi salam, Nuh's wife, died as a kafira, and Lut's wife died as a non-Muslim, then there is a possibility. Look at this argument. There is a possibility that Aisha could be a non-Muslim. And he used to say to people, Aisha finnar, she is in hellfire. هذا بيانونا للناس. This is our statement to people. That Aisha, he's proud of this statement, that Aisha will be in hellfire. These people, you cannot meet with them. You cannot have a dialogue with them. You can have a dialogue with a Christian or a Jew. But talking to these people who are filled with hatred towards the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we, at the end, their awam, the people, the general public within this group, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them hidayah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them hidayah. And if we have a chance to make da'wah to them, we make da'wah to them. We invite them to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we can. We shouldn't hate them to the extent that we don't want to deal with them at all. Because one of them, he came back to Islam. One of them came back. Many of them are reverting or coming back to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had a discussion with a group of Muslims, Sunni Muslims. And they told him that when we see them in Medina and Mecca, we keep away from, stay away from them. We don't want to deal with them because of what they are saying about the Sahaba and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know what was his response? This brother who was, you know, who belonged one time to this group and he became a Sunni Muslim, said, please don't stay away from them. They are misguided. They need your help. They need your da'wah. So go and mingle with them and talk to them and invite them to the true methodology or the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yuwafiqana li kulli khayr. Any other question before we finish, inshallah? Tafadhal akhi. He was leaning over on his camel when he was entering. Yeah, I know what you mean. The brother is saying that he heard that Rasulullah ﷺ was leaning on his camel and he was reciting at the Fath, the opening of Makkah, which took place in the 8th of Al-Hijrah. So 2 years before Hajjat al-Wada. And I said that Surah Al-Nasr was revealed to him during days of At-Tashriq, which is the last, which is during his farewell Hajj, which took place on the 10th of Al-Hijrah. This is what I said. I took it from Rahiq Al-Maktub, Mubarak 40. I don't know if there are two opinions about the time of revelation for this surah. Allahu alam. I'm not sure about that. But this is what Rahiq al-Makhtum, Sheikh Mubarak 40 said in his book, in Rahiq al-Makhtum, The Sealed Nectar. This is what he said, that it was revealed during those days. Wallahu ta'ala alam. There is a possibility, the ulama, they said some ayat or some verses were revealed twice in two different occasions. Allahu alam. If Surah al-Nasr is one of them. Tafadhal akhi. So you said, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do when he went to Al-Baqi' and Uhud?
How often did he go? Was it a practice?
Okay, his sunnah, when he used to go to the cemetery, he used to say, Assalamu alaikum ahl al-diyar. Peace be upon you, the inhabitants of this land or this place. Antum as-sabiqoon wa nahnu al-lahiqoon. You are our predecessors and we will follow in your steps, we will follow you. So, and he used to make dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to Allah to forgive them. So you don't make dua to the one who is inside the grave. This is what some Muslims do. This is a big mistake. Because we do dua to Allah. So he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive those who passed away, the inhabitants of the graves, and have mercy on them. That was his sunnah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was not his sunnah to recite Quran in the graveyard. He did not recite Quran. He used to make dua to the dead people. Okay? Jazakumullahu khairan. Rasulullah says, this is the last statement, last thing. Rasulullah says, he asked them to, you know, nahahum. He forbidden them to visit the graves, the cemetery, in the beginning. And he said, then after a while, he said, "Kuntu nahaytukum an ziyarat al qubur, ala fazuruha, fa innaha tudakirukum al akhirah." He said, I have forbidden you to go and visit the graves or the cemeteries. Now I'm telling you, this is a kind of naskh, abrogation. So I'm telling you, go and visit the graves. It will be a good reminder for you about al akhirah. It will, this scene will be a good reminder about al akhirah. So he used to encourage Muslims in the, you know, the end of his life to go and visit the graves. And if you do it time to time, it's okay. But don't establish it on a certain occasion. Because there are Muslims who visit the graves on Eid. After Salat al-Eid, you go. It's a sunnah for them. It has no basis in Sharia.
Or on the day of Shabbat Barat,
or Shabi Barat, what is called?
Shabi Barat,
15th of Sha'ban, right? Shabi Barat, so Muslims go and visit the graves. So there is no basis, there is no basis for that, there is no evidence. You go and visit the graves time to time to remember death, remember al-akhirah, and make dua to your brothers and sisters. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahu wa hamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.